to a reality. The Associate in Arts degree in Telecommunication at Henry Ford Community College is designed for the student interested in the career areas of advertising, public relations, journalism, and program production for radio, television, film, and multimedia. Both classroom academic knowledge and creative skills are combined with real-world assignments and experience so as to provide a solid foundation for the completion of a four-year telecommunications degree at a transfer institution. For more information about the telecommunications degree offered right here at Henry Ford Community College, contact Professor Susan McGraw at 313-845-9842 or sign up today by calling 1-800-585-HFCC or by logging on to hfcc.edu. Hey, this is DJ Bam. I do the Journey in the Trance show every Thursday from 9 to midnight. Join me for some of the best in electronic music from both the local and the national scene. I also love to have live guests on the show, so if you're an electronic music DJ or artist, give me a call and I'll let you know how to get on the show. That's the Journey in the Trance show with me, DJ Bam, every Thursday for the best in techno, trance, house, and dance right here on WHFR, the only station making waves for over 20 years.
This is WHFR Dearborn from the station making waves at Henry Ford Community College. My name is Jay Koronik. I'm station advisor here at WHFR-FM, and I'd like to welcome you to the next hour of our programming, which is our WHFR Forum programs. And today we're going to be featuring a rebroadcast of Pet Lovers Lane from August 8th this year. And it does talk in depth about the hoarding of animals in a residence in Dearborn, which you may have heard about. But after the show and all the information and background that's going to be presented by our guest from the Dearborn Animal Shelter, I'll also give you an update as of just a few days into September on that situation. So hope you enjoy now the August 2009 edition of Pet Lovers Lane, rebroadcast for your information.
Welcome to Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. I'm Susan Morrell, and we are here in the beautiful studios of WHFR 89.3, and this is Pet Lovers Lane, a news information and talk show about pets for pet lovers and for pets. And today we have two very special guests in the studio. We have Elaine Green, who is Executive Director of the Dearborn Animal Shelter, and we also have Lori Burr, who is Director of Human Resources, and welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
And
thanks
thank
for
you.
Having us.
Yes, thank you for joining us here on Pet Lovers Lane. And we want to talk today about a couple of ongoing cases in the Dearborn area. And I don't know how to really qualify them, and perhaps you can, Elaine, shed some light on this. If they are really animal hoarding cases or animal abuse cases, I'm not really sure which one they are and what are the qualifications for either one, but we had this terrible story about a man with something like 200 chihuahuas in a house, and all these chihuahuas, the living ones, eventually went to the Dearborn Animal Shelter. And then there was another case of 50 cats being rescued from a residence, and that was about a month ago or so.
Yes.
And then they all went to the Dearborn Animal Shelter. So first of all, tell us, how do you become involved in these types of cases?
Well, we actually are the holding facility for the city of Dearborn. And so when cases like this happen within the city limits, the animals typically will come to us for safekeeping during the investigation until determination can be made on what's going to happen with the animals and if they're going to be adoptable or if they have to be euthanized, whatever the case may be.
And who notifies you? Is it the police department?
Well, typically, in these two cases, the situation became apparent to the animal control officers. It's their job to go out, answer complaints. People hear, notice things about maybe their neighbors. Maybe it's a smell, odor. Maybe they see a lot of animals going in and out of the house, something like that. And so they go out, knock on a door, and talk to the resident to see what's going on. In these cases, once it was apparent to the animal control officers that there was more than just a few animals in the homes, then other resources are called, our building and safety department, police department, that type of thing.
Okay, so then who goes over from the Dearborn Animal Shelter to investigate? Is it just one person, or is it just a crew of people, or how do you prepare for such an event or investigation?
Well, actually, it's not the personnel from the animal shelter, not the friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter that's investigating. It's actually animal control officers that are employed by the police department. And there's three animal control officers that work for the city of Dearborn. Sometimes they engage police officers to help them with these investigations. And in both these cases, there was police, fire, building and safety personnel, as well as animal control on the scene.
So I presume that at these, well, I know about the Chihuahua case, there was an individual living there, and then also at the cat residence, was there an individual living there?
Yes, both of them were men that were living in the homes.
And so I presume they are removed at a certain point?
Yes, both men were hospitalized.
I see. Okay, so it's sort of a sad situation, and this story about the Chihuahuas has been on the news all over the city and the state, and even out of the state for, you know, a couple weeks now. But
right.
My understanding is that you have how many Chihuahuas, 100 or?
Well, we took in 105 Chihuahuas from the home.
And so how are they doing at this point?
Some of them are doing really, really well. You'd be surprised to see how social they are, very friendly. They see you, they wag their tail, roll over, want a belly rub. They're doing quite well. There are others that are really kind of timid. Some are just downright afraid. They haven't had much social interaction with humans. I believe that the Chihuahuas really weren't around other people other than the man that lived in the home.
And what about the cats?
Some of the cats in that situation were, again, very timid, unsocial cats, and probably half of them were extremely social cats.
Okay, so do you have any of these animals available for adoption at this point?
The cats right now that we were able to save from the hoarding situation are up for adoption and looking for good homes. They're very social cats, very friendly cats. They use their litter box very well. They would love nothing more than to find a nice lap to curl up in and a window to look out.
Oh, so a lot of the cats are ready.
Right.
About how many?
I think we have about 20 of them.
20 of them. And then the rest of them are what?
The dogs?
The cats.
The cats, some of the cats we were unable to save because of their temperament.
Okay.
They were just, we were unable to handle them. They were just so terrified of the situation. And some of them were very sick. So those cats, unfortunately, some of them had contagious diseases that we could not risk exposing the rest of the animals in the shelter to. So unfortunately, those would had to be euthanized.
Okay, so that's a sad situation. But how are the dogs coming along? Are all of them are going to be available for adoption, you think, or some not going to make it?
Well, at this point, we have some dogs that have some major health problems. We have a few that have cardiac issues, and we've engaged a cardiologist to help navigate through that. They're great dogs, friendly dogs, but we're hoping, you know, that we'll be able to find a home, someone that will be able to manage their health issues. We have another dog that we're looking at may have liver cancer, and hopefully we can manage that one. About 50% of the Chihuahuas had pretty severe dental issues. Many of them had missing teeth. They're not old dogs. We're thinking maybe 5-6 years old, a lot of them. And when you look in their mouth, you can't believe that that's all they are because they have the mouth of older dogs because their teeth are so bad.
So they have serious health issues. So what these cases would be examples of what? Animal hoarding, animal abuse, how do you qualify them at this point?
Well, both. We used to call animal hoarders collectors. That was the common term. And I think folks in the animal welfare community decided that collector really wasn't a great term because it sounded like a nice thing, you know, like you're collecting dolls or collecting coins or something like that. Hoarding basically is a situation where there's a lot of a person's accumulating large numbers of animals and they fail to provide the minimum standards of nutrition and care for the animals. Usually there's sanitation issues and lack of veterinary care for all of them. They also are unable to realize that they have too many animals in the home to properly take care of, and so then you see a lot of disease, death, starvation, and these animals. And it also impacts their own health issues. People that are so involved in hoarding cannot really see the tree for the forest. I mean, they're just overwhelmed by it. They think they're doing a good thing. Some of them actually start with one or two. They believe that they're saving them from a life on the street or maybe death at an animal shelter. And they start, they continue to take more and more in, trying to be a good Samaritan, but it just turns into a horrible situation. In my determination, hoarders in these cases were neglecting the animals, and some of the situations where the animals were being kept, in my opinion, were cruel.
Okay, so how would you classify animal hoarding? I mean, is it a psychological illness? Is it a mental illness? What category is it put in?
Well, some people liken it to a form of OCD, where
which is what?
Obsessive compulsive disorder.
Okay, so is that a mental illness or what is that?
It's a psychological condition, I think, is probably the best way to put it.
Oh.
There are many studies that are continuing. I think the Humane Society of the United States is looking at it, Tufts University, trying to come up with a treatment plan. The one thing that I have read and have personal experience with, if a person is involved in hoarding, and once the animals are removed, if they don't receive counseling plus probably someone watching over them, that they will go back. It's 100% recidivism.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And then you said it's also considered animal abuse.
Well, some people feel that it is animal abuse because when you're taking too many animals and you can't give them proper care and they're starving to death, dying, not receiving proper veterinary care, that in itself, neglect is abuse.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it becomes an impossible feat to take care of that many animals. 100 animals,
right.
Can you
well,
imagine?
Yes, there are people that probably can do that satisfactorily. They have the resources to do that. And then there are others that can't take care of themselves, let alone 100 animals.
Right. Oh, this is true. So it's kind of a sad situation all the way around.
Right.
And it's really even sad for the Dearborn Animal Shelter because you have to come in and pick up the pieces.
Right. Some of our staff were was actually involved in the removal of some of the dogs in this house, and they really were upset by what they saw. We've so upset that we've had to seek counseling for them because of
just the conditions.
Right.
Yeah, deplorable conditions.
Right.
Yeah, we covered it last week on the new WHFR Journal. And, I mean, the stories were, very difficult just to read the news stories over the air.
Right.
You can't even read some of those things on the air, on the radio. Certain words we don't like to broadcast, against FCC regulations. But, I mean, it's a very pleasant, unpleasant situation, to say the least.
Yeah, it was hard for everybody. The man who had the dogs, I'm sure, is having a very difficult time, with everything that has happened to them. The animals, a horrible life they had. But now, if you could see them now, some of them, it just makes your heart sing because, some of them are becoming housebroken.
And you brought pictures.
Yep. These are some of the pictures of the dogs that have been rescued
at the
shelter.
Some of them are just when you go out and have them put on the grass for the first time. I mean, and they just see the grass and they get pretty excited and they're a little freaked to begin with, but it's great to see how in the last week some of them have just come forward and been just kind of coming out of their shell. You know?
They are really, really cute, and we can't show people because we are on the radio, and this is Pet Lovers Lane. But are any of these pictures available on the website?
There are these particular pictures I just took today, but there are pictures of some of the dogs on our website.
Yeah, because they're really, really cute, and the website is www.dearborn-animals.com, and they have a great website anyway, and there's just tons and tons of good information and stuff to know that you might want to know, so check it out. You are listening to Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. We are making waves. I am Susan Morell, and we are talking today with two of the movers and shakers over at the Dearborn Animal Shelter. The executive director is Elaine Green, and she knows everything there is to know about animals in the Dearborn Animal Shelter. And Lori Burr, who is director of human resources. So there's just really a lot going on at the Dearborn Animal Shelter. And are any of these chihuahuas available yet for adoption, or are they all taken?
No, actually, there's going to be a slow process because we have to evaluate both the animals and the adopters. We got over 500 applications of interested people for these dogs. We only have 105 chihuahuas, so obviously there's going to be a screening process. These dogs are dogs that are going to be going home with more than a collar and leash. They got baggage. And I'm talking about socialization issues, health issues, possibly ongoing housebreaking issues. So we're looking for families, individuals that can provide the right type of home for these dogs.
And the cats, too.
Cats, too.
They need...
The cats that we have up for adoption from the hoarding issue are pretty well socialized, they bounce back really well. Using litter box, I think they fit in pretty well with any household that's able to provide a good home for a cat. Plus, we have another 250 cats that are looking for homes.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the screening process for adoption so that people will know, you know, you have all these wonderful animals available
right.
at the Dearborn Animal Shelter besides the Chihuahuas and the cats who were in the hoarding experience. And I adopted my favorite cat, Mitzi, from the Dearborn Animal Shelter. And talk a little bit about the screening process so that people will know.
Well, people can come into the shelter or even go online to our website to look at the animals that we have up for adoption. The majority of our animals are pictured on our website. You can either come into the shelter or, again, go on the website to look at our application for adoption. It's a screening process. We're looking for people that are going to be able to provide good, lifelong homes, responsible homes for these animals. And, you know, that's what we're looking for, and that's what these animals need. So they can fill out the application. It usually takes us a day or two to go through the application, and then we will contact you with, the next steps of coming down, filling out a contract to adopt the animal. They're sterilized. They are current on vaccinations. We do leukemia testing on our cats before they go home, as long as they're old enough. We worm them. The dogs are heartworm tested. We microchip all of our animals before they go home. And plus, we give you all kinds of other goodies, collar and tag for the animals so they don't get lost. Again, along with the microchip, leash, and a carry box for the cats to go home, plus a kitty blanket and a doggy blanket, so they have something to take to their new home with them.
So there are just a lot of things that are included with the pet.
Right.
Once they're adopted, they're right. just, you know, lots and lots of things. And so the charges would be what?
Well, right now, we since we have so many kitties, we have actually reduced our adoption fee for cats 75%.
Ooh.
Well, it's $20, I'm sorry, it's $40 to adopt a cat, $45 for a kitten under 4 months. If you adopt the second one at the same time, a friend for a friend, we encourage people to adopt two at a time because cats love the companionship of another cat, generally speaking. then the second cat goes home at no additional charge.
Okay, so that sounds good. So you can get two cats for what,
$40? $40.
That is a really good deal because they have all their shots.
Right.
They have a microchip. And
it's generally a $500 value.
Oh.
If you were to find a free cat on the street and take it to the vet and get everything that we've done for it plus the other goodies, it would run you about $500.
Yeah, and I believe that, you know, because... That's what it costs to get these animals in shape, you know, and health-wise. So tell us a little bit about your philosophy and how your philosophy flows into how you're adopting these animals out and how you're treating the animals at the Dearborn Animal Shelter, because every animal that goes into a shelter doesn't get the great treatment that animals get over at the Dearborn Animal Shelter.
Well, we like to think that we give them treatment like we would treat our own animals. We make sure that the vaccines protocols are state-of-the-art. We keep up with the latest medications and treatments. If an animal comes into us sick or injured, we do what we can to bring it back to health so we can find a good home for them. We've had treated dogs for heartworm disease, animals for broken bones. We do whatever we can to make sure that the animal is healthy and free of any issues as much as we can before we place them in a home.
Right. But, I mean, you also have a philosophy at your shelter, I believe, of the no-kill policy as much as possible?
What I like to say instead of no-kill, because I think that's a kind of misunderstood term, we save 100% of our adaptable animals. Adaptable meaning that they're healthy at the time of adoption, they have potential of being healthy at some point, or a manageable illness. Some animals may have a chronic illness but just need medication ongoing, so then we would have to find a specialized home for them. Mm-hmm. And they're temperamentally sound, meaning they're safe to be out in a home with people, other animals, and in the public. We don't want to put an animal out that's going to endanger anybody.
Right. And so you have the adoption process going on, and also something that is probably not mentioned very often or thought about is you also have, foster programs available.
Right. A third of the cats that we have right now are in foster care. A lot of these chihuahuas are going to go into foster care because they're not ready at this point to be adopted and to get socialized the way that they need to be socialized, taught manners, learn to be housebroken. The shelter's not a place for them to get that intense care and training. So we have volunteers that step up to become foster parents, and they take the animals home and love them like their own, and then once they're ready to come back to be adopted, they bring them back and we find homes for them.
Okay, so what are the qualifications you're looking at for a foster home? Do you want somebody to have other animals in their home, or how does that work?
Not necessarily. The criteria is to become a volunteer with our organization. And then we do a little training session on how to care for the animal. There's special needs that some of the animals have. Sometimes it's just lack of cage space. And they're taking the animal home and just providing love and food and maintenance until we have space to find a home for them. We want people to have the time and the place to take care of the animals. They don't necessarily have to have an animal at home. And in fact, sometimes it's better if they don't, because we have some animals that may have something contagious that if they had animals at home, they would bring the illness to their own animals. So we need all kinds of folks to help us in foster care.
Okay, so it just depends on what kind of an environment you have to offer for the animal, and how much time you have,
right,
and whether you have enough space to seclude an animal if it's sick, or if you have other animals they want to interact with, or whatever the case may be. That's an interesting option. If you don't want to maybe adopt,
right,
and another animal, let's say you already have animals, or you don't really want a long-term animal, you just want short-term animals, and get to know them and let them move on to a better place.
Right. We have a funny saying, we call them foster failures. People, the first time they foster, a lot of times they want to adopt the animal.
Well, yeah.
Because they get attached to it. And that's fine. You know, that's fine with us, as long as hopefully they continue to foster, because we do need people to take care of the animals. The other good thing about animals going into foster care is that we get a sense of how they are in a home. Are they housebroken? What behavior issues may they have? If they have children, how they interact with children? That type of thing that we have no knowledge of, because right, the majority of the animals come in stray and they're not telling us what their background is. So we just have to make a lot of guesses sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. And I think I got a few surprises when I brought Mitzi home. But she's provided nonstop entertainment from the moment she arrived.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing.
Yep, we can guarantee inexpensive entertainment with any of our pets.
But I always like to talk about Mitzi, but she's getting older now. I think she's about 4 or 5 years old now. And so she's gained quite a bit of weight. And so she's not up to doing quite as many acrobatics.
Well, that's one way to keep them down.
Used to.
Yeah.
You know, she loves to run through the house and then jump up into to the top of the bookcase, which is about 7 feet high.
Oh, wow.
And then the last time she did that, she ran smack into the side of the bookcase instead of landing on the top. And I was afraid she was killed herself.
Yeah.
But she lived through it, and I think she learned a very hard lesson. So that can happen, right?
I need a crash helmet for her now.
She needs a bodysuit, that cat.
Yeah.
So tell us about some of the ongoing programs and services that you have at the Dearborn Animal Shelter.
Well, we have off-site adoptions once a month at different sites. So those people that don't want to come into the shelter can go to a pet supply store. Those are all listed on our website, dates and times. We do a microchip clinic quarterly, where we do low-cost microchipping for people to get their animals identified. It is extremely important that people look into this. Many animals that come into the shelter are not wearing any kind of identifications. Cats especially don't wear collars very well. And if they were microchipped, we could return them back to their rightful home. It would help with our overpopulation and well as people getting their beloved animal returned to them.
Yeah. That's important.
We have quite a few events coming up right now. We have Bowling for Animal Rescue, which is Saturday. It starts at 7 p.m. at Country Lanes. We have also a pancake breakfast called Breakfast in the Park. This is a fundraiser specifically to raise money for the Chihuahuas. $4.
And when is that?
That's Saturday.
Oh, that's Saturday, and that's where
Saturday,
is that?
This Saturday, it's at Nash Park in Livonia. It's off of Henry Ruff near Middle Belt Merriman.
Okay.
We're also having a fundraiser at Stiletto's Bar, which is, I believe it's on Middle Belt. They're having a Mexican fiesta, authentic Mexican food, and that starts at 9 p.m. on August 16th. Also, Hogs for Dogs is going to be August 27th at Kernan's, which is on Michigan Avenue in Dearborn. It starts at 4 p.m. and runs to 9 p.m. It's $20 for hot dogs, hamburgers, draft beer, chips, corn, all these events to help the shelter.
And that's August?
August 27th. It's Thursday night.
27th. Okay, so a lot of things coming up in August. Anything else for maybe September? Or?
We are planning a fun run. That's going to happen, I believe it's September 20th at Camp Dearborn. And the details are being formulated right now, so they can check our website at www.dearbornanimals.org.
Okay, and I think I saw something interesting on your website about face painting.
Homecoming. We're going to have at homecoming actual artists, face painters, to paint the kids or adults, whoever is wanting to do that, Saturday night and Sunday night.
So you can get a cat's face.
A cat face painted, yes. Yes, it's a lot of fun.
I want a cat face.
And it comes with ears, too.
We have does it?
Little ears. So, yeah. We had an event a few weeks ago, and one of the ladies came, and all the staff stood in line to get their faces painted. People didn't know who was real and who was.
Well, that sounds really like a lot of fun. So that's at Dearborn's Homecoming, August 7th through the 9th?
Yes.
Okay, so that sounds like a really, really fun event. And what else? Anything else in terms of happenings that you want to talk about? It can be further off in the future.
We have our Black Tie and Tails Gala. That's October. It's the third Friday in October, and I don't know what the exact date is, 15th or 16th. And that's we always have it at Dearborn Inn, and it's a wonderful, wonderful event.
But you have to get dressed up.
Well, you know,
I just want to mention that
you get to get dressed up. Well, you get to wear, yes, that's right.
In my case, you have to. So,
well, some people wear business you know, suits or things like that. I mean, it's not tuxedos and gowns. You can come with, you know, a dressy top and slacks, and because we have animals there.
Thank you very much for that.
Yes.
It's a wide range of dress code.
Yes,
right.
Yes. But it is so much fun because we have a lot of adoptable animals at the event, and we have wonderful auction packages that...
Tell me about the food.
The food is
I'm there for the food.
The food is delicious. We serve either vegetarian. You get your choice of a vegetarian, or usually it's a steak, a meat, some kind of meat dish. I'm a vegetarian, so I can't talk much about...
The meat's good.
Yeah.
Right, but if people are spending big bucks, they probably want a steak.
Well, yeah. Well, right? Some people do. The dessert bar is very, very... sought after. Everyone loves the dessert bar there, and the great desserts. I mean, everything is very, very good.
It's really very good.
Food's very good. The music's nice.
You go for the food, and then the animals are the dessert, right? No, not exactly. But In terms of affection,
yes.
Right?
But there's great silent auction with some very good auction items. So
oh, really? Such as?
Well, we have packages, hotel packages, I think there are.
I heard, a little birdie told me that we have 4 tickets to the Idol finale, front row.
Oh.
American Idol.
Oh, American Idol. Okay, very good. Yeah, so that's the big thing these days,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
There's everything from small items to large items to photography packages to, you know, golf packages to
all
ticket
kinds
packages.
Of goodies.
Yeah, some articles, you know, jewelry. They usually have a very nice selection, a very varied selection, too.
So if you decide to get dressed up at least one time this year, folks, go to the event in October for the Dearborn Animal Shelter, and you can, you know, have a great time, and that money will be donated, to the animals and helping the Dearborn Animal Shelter.
Right. It goes to operations.
Achieve their goals with helping all these terrible situations with these animals being rescued, and they need to be adopted. And I know you said it's a reduced rate for cats. So to adopt for dogs, it's more money?
Yes. The dog adoption right now for small breed dogs like the Chihuahuas would be $200. And again, the package is still a $500 value because we're doing the sterilization. And those that have dogs know that it generally costs more to have them sterilized than it does a cat. There's more vaccinations to be given to a dog than there is a cat. A heartworm test also. And then dogs that are not lap-sized dogs are $145. Puppies are $200 also.
So dogs are a little more pricey, but, I mean, do you have more cats at the shelter?
We have 3 times the amount of cats than we do dogs. Until we got the 100 Chihuahuas. And now we're probably 30% more cats.
In general, is that kind of the general rule?
No, generally it's 60%, 60 to 70% more cats than dogs. But now with the Chihuahua influx, we're at probably just 30% more cats.
But you have more cats, and I presume that's because of the cat overpopulation problem.
Well, it tends, and this is true pretty much all over, people tend not to spend as much money on their cats as they do dogs, and they're not as proactive in getting them sterilized. So cats can have 3 litters a year, and they
or
can
more.
Become very prolific in reproducing, and so it doesn't take much time to get a huge population of cats. Dogs doesn't seem as much. And people typically, because of leash laws, don't allow their dogs to run loose as much. And so you're not going to have them, you know, philandering out and about and, you know, coming home with unwanted puppies.
Yeah. So it's great to have a cat. And if you can bring more than one cat into your house, you will have a happier home. So go to the Dearborn Animal Shelter and adopt an extra cat or two. And they enjoy the company.
Absolutely. You know, they really like to play, and like we said before, it's inexpensive entertainment. There's nothing more entertaining to watch two kitties running around the house, rolling around, playing with each other.
Yeah, but you have to watch them because, you know, if you have one that's more aggressive or two that are more aggressive than the other one, you have to kind of watch that balance of power, so to speak, because it can be detrimental for the more timid cat.
Yeah. We do recommend that if you already have animals in the home, we give you some tips on introducing a new animal. And so with cats especially, we recommend doing a very slow introduction. So it's not just say, meet your new brother and sister. It may take you several days to a few weeks to properly introduce them.
Right, because at the present time I have three cats, and I have one very timid cat who I now have to keep really isolated much of the time when I'm not home, away from the other two, because mm-hmm. The other two are just overwhelmingly much more aggressive,
mm-hmm.
and the timid cat just cannot tolerate
right.
The intensity of their personalities.
Right.
I have too.
They don't get that when you tell them to back off. They don't get that part.
Right, right.
But anyway, I know that you brought some pictures of some adoptable animals.
Right. I brought pictures of three dogs and three cats. Sparkles is a pit bull. She's been with us for quite a while, over a year, waiting for the right home. She's a beautiful white pit bull. Everyone loves her.
She's a beautiful dog.
She is.
Very sweetheart.
A nice,
pretty
dog, great with other animals and children. So she has huge ears. She's very alert, very, very sweet. And so that's one of our goals, is to find her a great home soon, because she's been waiting quite a long time.
So she's a young dog. She's only about, what, a year and a half old?
Year and a half.
Aww.
Right.
Aww.
Right.
She's a nice dog. So give them a call at 313-943-2697 because it's a pit bull terrier mix and would be a good home for children.
Right. We are one of the few shelters that really work at placing pit bulls. We have a program called Recyclables where we reach out to other cities that are looking at new bans on dogs. Where Allen Park is one, Melvindale's another, and we are just concerned about that, because what we feel is the proper thing is to punish the deed, not the breed.
Right.
Most of these situations, if not all of the situations where pit bulls or other dogs are involved in bites or attacks, it's a result of irresponsible owners. I'm not saying that they train their dogs to do this, but they hadn't trained or properly socialized their dog to begin with, and they hadn't properly contained the animal. So it wasn't allowed to be out on the street or escape from their yard or their home or whatever. We have about 50% of our dogs are typically pit bulls and pit bull mixes, and they're beautiful, wonderful, sweet, loyal, intelligent, beautiful animals.
And they are adoptable.
Extremely adoptable. They are great, great dogs. I can't say, they have a lot of energy. So you have to do things with them. They're not typically couch potato dogs. So if you're going to have a pit bull, you need to do some exercise with them. You need to teach them things.
Not a dog for a couch potato.
Not a dog.
Please don't call if you're a couch potato.
Right, right.
No offense to any pet lovers out there.
No.
Different type of dog for
right.
you.
There are dogs that make perfect couch potatoes, generally pit bulls, not so
or
much.
Or maybe a cat. You might want a cat, but not Mitzi. Okay.
Now, Caleb is a dog that actually came into us as a stray, and he was placed once. Actually, the home that he was adapted to, warded off a intruder. The woman was in bed and she heard Caleb barking, and the next day she found out that someone had tried to pry her door open, and so Caleb scared the man off. But Caleb is a lab. Labs have a lot of energy, and he, unfortunately, as a puppy, probably didn't get the training that he should have gotten. So now he needs some remedial training to work out his energy. And so she, unfortunately, was not. She was probably more like a couch potato and needed a more quiet dog.
So we don't want this dog to be around cats.
He probably would. He likes cats, but probably for lunch.
Right.
not as companions.
And probably not for small children.
Because he's high energy and he's a big dog, he would possibly knock them over, and so we don't want to put him at risk or the children at risk.
So they want a person who likes to really walk, to run, who's a very active, physically active person for
right.
his dog. And he's a young dog, and he's a black lab. He's a good dog.
Now, this is Daisy May, and Daisy May is a yellow lab. The people turn Daisy May in because they couldn't afford Daisy May, and I believe Daisy was actually living outside. So she came in. She had been probably in two homes already. Extremely timid when she first came in. Now she's happy and outgoing. Beautiful dog.
Yeah, this is a beautiful dog.
And she, although she was living with another dog, she, I think, really would prefer to be an only pet. But I think she'd be a great addition.
She's a yellow lab.
To anyone's family.
Yellow lab. Beautiful dog. Only, what, 1 year old?
Yeah, probably just over one.
Very pretty dog.
Then to the kitties, this is Santa. Santa has been with us for quite a while. He actually is one of our cat was in our going to be moved into our cat community center, and we test the cats for feline AIDS and feline leukemia before we place them. We found out that he had feline AIDS, but his personality was so super that we decided we just had to find a home for him. So he couldn't go into the community center with the other cats that didn't have feline AIDS. But he is a beautiful kitty, long-haired kitty, and has such a super personality. So anyone that doesn't have a cat or has cats that have feline AIDS, he'd be a great add to your home.
And he's 4 years old, and he's beautiful.
Right.
He's mostly a white cat. He has a little bit of black on his face, but beautiful. He's a beautiful cat.
Then there's a picture of Ginger, and Ginger's also with her buddy Monty. Unfortunately, their owner passed away. They're older cats, 14 and 10 years of age. And they ended up at the shelter when their owner passed away. So they've been there for a while. It's harder to find homes for older cats. Most people are thinking about kittens. But they both have lots of love to give, and I'm hoping much more time to live.
Well, they're very beautiful cats. They're both gold in color and with green eyes, and older cats make wonderful pets because they're already trained.
Paws is a little kitty that came to us. It had actual chemical burns on its paws when it came in. It was in a factory, walked through some chemicals. And so we've been treating it. It came in at 6 weeks. We've been treating it for 6-7 weeks. Paws are finally healed and ready to find a home, and he's a beautiful kitty.
Little gold kitten. So anyone who wants to adopt, they should what? Call you, go to the website? What should they do?
They can go to the website, again, www.dearbornanimals.org. They can call the shelter, 313-943-2697. Or they can come to the shelter. We're at 2661 Greenfield, Dearborn, just south of 94 on Greenfield.
Okay, but they would have to fill out an application
right.
for adoption. It would have to be reviewed. And then you can go in there and shop around and select a beautiful... it's so tempting once you walk in that door. I mean, you will definitely find something you will love, I guarantee you.
Absolutely.
So I want to thank you both for joining us today on Pet Lovers Lane. And we're out of time, unfortunately, here. We do ask you, our WHFR listeners, to stay tuned because we're going to go on with our pet calendar for August 2009. Thank you to Elaine Green, Executive Director of the Dearborn Animal Shelter, for joining us here today, and also Lori Burr, Director of Human Resources. Thank you for joining us. And go to their website, dearbornanimals.org, and pick out your pet. And I'm Susan Morrell, and Pet Lovers Lane will be here at WHFR 89.3 on the second Saturday of every month at 10 a.m. And also the podcast is available if you missed the show. And go to WHFR.fm, the only station making waves. I'm Susan Morrell, and thank you so much for joining us today on Pet Lovers Lane. And I thank you for staying tuned to Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. I'm Susan Morrell, and Pet Lovers Lane is a news, information, and talk show about pets, for pet lovers, and for pets. And that means you. And let's turn now to our calendar, Pet Lovers Lane calendar, for August 2009. There are a number of very interesting events going on in August. The Greyheart Greyhound Rescue and Adoption Group is hosting a meet and greet on Sunday, August 9th from 12 noon until 4 p.m. And that will take place at the Petco in the city of East Point at 22631 Gratiot Road. And if you wish to contact the organization, it's at greyheart.org on the internet. And the Greyheart Greyhound Rescue and Adoption Group is holding another meet and greet on Saturday, August 15th at Rocco's Pet Depot in Macomb Township at 47202 Hayes. And that will start at 12 noon and run until 3 p.m. And they are holding another event, the Greyheart Greyhound Rescue and Adoption Group. They are going to be appearing at the Woodward Dream Cruise on Saturday, August 15th. And that will be from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. And you can find them at the Weir Manual Real Estate parking lot. There's a real estate office there, and they're going to be in the parking lot. And that will be in Birmingham at 298 South Old Woodward Avenue. And again, their website is greyheart.org, O-R-G. And there's a new group on our calendar for August. It's called Rover 411 and Best Friends. And they are holding a wine, say cheese event on Sunday, August 16th. It starts at 12 noon and runs until 4 p.m. And that's at 3371 Harper Avenue in Clinton Township. And there is no charge for that. And their contact phone number is 586-792-3000. And again, the Grey Heart Greyhound Rescue and Adoption Group is holding another meet and greet on Sunday, August 23rd at the ACO Hardware in Livonia from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. The location is 37133 Six Mile Road. So there's a lot of greyhounds available for adoption, and I understand that they make fabulous pets. They are just very, very gentle and loving. And so these greyhounds are mostly retired greyhounds from the racing business. That is my understanding. And we have some adoption events around for the month of August. There is a group called the Buster Foundation Pit Bull Education and Rescue Group, and they are holding numerous events throughout Metro Detroit. On the second Saturday, they will be in Ypsilanti at the Mantis Pet Supply at 1145 West Michigan Avenue from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. And every third Saturday, they will be at the PetSmart in Northville at 17677 Haggerty Road. And every fourth Saturday in Ann Arbor, they will be at the Petco at 3537 Washtenaw Avenue. And all those events will run from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. And then there is the Fortunate Feline Adoption League. And every Saturday from noon until 5 p.m., they are at the Petco on 9 Mile and Gratiot. And then there is the Furry Friends Rescue Group. And they meet every Saturday at Pet Provisions in Brighton from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m., and that location is 5757 Whitmore Lake Road. The contact phone is 248-860-5688. And then there's Greyhounds of Eastern Michigan, and they are holding numerous events throughout Metro Detroit. And every first Saturday, they will be at the Petco in Ann Arbor from 11 a.m. till 3 p.m., and that location is 3537 Washtenaw. And every second Saturday, they will be at the Petco in Westland at 35725 Warren Road from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And the third Saturday, every third Saturday, they will be at the PetSmart in Chesterfield at 51347 Gratian Avenue from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. And every fourth Saturday, they will be at the Petco in Taylor. That is located at 22263 Eureka Road, and that is also from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. And then there's a group called the Heart of Michigan Animal Rescue, and they meet every Friday at PetSmart in Midland at 6910 Eastman Avenue, and that's from 4 until 8 p.m. And then every second and fourth Sunday, they will be at the PetSmart in Midland from 1 until 5 p.m. That's at 6910 Eastman Avenue. And then there is the Itsy Bitsy Small Dog Rescue, and they meet every Thursday from 10 to 7 p.m., and also every Sunday from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m., and that is at the Premier Pet Supply in Beverly Hills at 31215 Southfield Road, and their contact number is 248-885-0224. And last but not least, there is the Last Chance Rescue. And they meet every Saturday and Sunday from 12 noon until 4 p.m. at the PetSmart in Bright. So I hope you will do that, and I hope you will join me here on Pet Lovers Lane. We try to bring all the news to you about pets. It's a pet show about four pet lovers, and that means you and your pet. And I highly encourage you and your pet to listen. So please join me here whenever you can. I'm Susan Morrell, and you are listening to WHFR 89.3 on your FM dial, the only station making waves.
This is Jay Koronik, WHFR Station Advisor. We hope you enjoyed the rebroadcast of Pet Lover's Lane as it was first featured here on the August 8th. And at this point, of course, if you've been following the local papers, things are moving along in terms of prosecuting the dog hoarder referred to here. His name is Kenneth Lang Jr. He's being charged with two counts of cruelty to 10 or more animals. And this, by the way, this whole process of having to perform autopsies on the dead animals and so on was made possible by a generous grant from the Animal League Defense Fund. So those the charges, as I said, were brought on September the 3rd, and the final adjudication of the case is yet to be decided by the courts. So stay tuned for each week on Tuesday from noon to 2 p.m., more of our Tuesday talk hours here on the station Making Waves. The Forum Show is also available as a podcast from our website, whfr.fm. So since it has moved from Saturdays from 10 to 11 a.m., tell your friends, tell them they can still find it any time of the day or week after the Tuesday 1 to 2 p.m. broadcast on our website. Again, our website address is whfr.fm. We are the station making waves.